Turn your Bibles with me, if you would, this evening to Ezekiel chapter 37. Ezekiel chapter 37. It's an exciting thing to serve the Lord. Amen? So the world's not an easy place to serve the Lord, but it's an exciting place to serve the Lord. You know, if you believe on Christ and think that from then on everything's going to be a walk in the park and easy, well, we got some surprises waiting for you. It's not going to be easy, but it's the best thing in the world. Far better to face some trials walking with the Lord than have an easy life physically in this world and not know Christ as your Savior. Far better. And we do, as was mentioned this evening, Pastor Waugh said, it's through the trials. Solomon even wrote in the book of Ecclesiastes, it's better to be in the house of mourning than to be in the house of, celebration. You know, we learn a lot more when things are a bit challenging. We learn more of God's grace and His faithfulness and how He ministers to us. This is a powerful passage here in Ezekiel chapter 37. I'd like to speak this evening of hope for hopeless people. A hope for hopeless people. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for the opportunity this evening to open your word. It has been a blessing to be here in the service this evening. It's been a blessing to be with friends and our spiritual family here at Faith Baptist Church. I pray you continue to pour out your blessing here in this place. Every family, Lord, those who could not be here present tonight, those who are here, we pray that you would use your word to challenge us, to minister to us. Lord, I don't know if someone maybe this evening is facing a very difficult trial. Could be facing some doubts or just disappointment or confusion. I pray that you would help them to trust in you. I pray you'd help us as believers to trust in you enough to speak of Christ in this world and to, just as we believed in Christ for the salvation of our soul, that we could believe in Christ, that He is faithful and He will help us to share the gospel with other people as well. I pray that you would help, if anyone is present tonight who has never been saved, that they could understand clearly that before you they are a lost sinner. There is no hope for heaven outside of Jesus Christ. And that even tonight they could be saved. They could pray a very simple prayer, sincerely and by faith, and receive Christ in their life and receive the forgiveness of sins. Pray, Lord, you guide us in our thoughts and words this evening, that your word would impact our hearts and move us and lead us in your perfect will. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. It doesn't take long as we look at our own country and the conditions of our country. And sometimes we look at things that are going on in our own nation. I mean, things just get worse and worse and worse. So I think of the story that Pastor Walsh shared. And sometimes when you read of preachers in old times, and things that they talked about, I think sin is even more open and more blatant today than ever before. But you know, we didn't live in those times. We are here tonight. But you read about some of the things preachers faced and the boldness that they had and the places where they went. And maybe sin outright in all places is not as blatant as it is today, but they fought tough spiritual battles and they had grit, and they had faith in the Lord and trust, and they went to some really hard places and preached the word. And sin, we think sometimes, maybe mistakenly so, that back in the 1800s, back in centuries gone by, that maybe the world wasn't so bad, but it was a sick, perverted place. It always has been. Sin is just that way. The more that people give in to sin, the worse it becomes. And we live in a sinful nation. I think we live in the greatest nation in the world, humanly speaking, but our nation is very sick. And our nation, apart from Jesus Christ, has no hope. It has no hope. And you hear lots of talk, and you hear lots of plans, and things that, and we should support certain things, and we should get involved, but there is no hope for our own people outside of the salvation of Jesus Christ and knowing Him. But there is hope for hopeless people. I don't like to talk about our own country as a hopeless people. You think even of within the military, they have seen record numbers in the last several years successively the amounts of suicides amongst the military ranks, even amongst retired military. Last year, for the first time, I think, if I remember the numbers correctly, there were two military chaplains who committed suicide, three chaplain assistants who committed suicide. They've never seen that before. There's just there's a degree of desperation and hopelessness. It's just a symptom of a condition of our own country where we live. We have a wonderful people that, if they don't know Christ, it's a hopeless people. I think of Uruguay and say how hard it is and how close they are to the gospel. But it's a country of 3.5 million people. It's very small. And there's pockets of 3.5 million people here in the United States that are just as close to the gospel. And if the people folks do not receive Christ, there is no hope, but there is hope for hopeless people. In Ezekiel chapter 37, let's read verses 1 through 3 together. The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley which is full of bones. We see the urgency of this chapter here. If you went back to chapter 3, we won't take time to do that this evening, but when God spoke to Ezekiel and told him, I am going to send you to a people that is hard-hearted and stiff-necked, and they will not listen to you, but you have to preach to them anyway. And Ezekiel wasn't too excited about that. And it says the hand of the Lord took him in the rage of his spirit. I mean, Ezekiel was not excited about this, but God took him. And again, we see this here in this verse. The hand of the Lord is upon him and carried him away and put him right where he wanted Ezekiel to be. There's an urgency to this message of offering hope to hopeless people. In verse 2, and he caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. There, praise the Lord, and it may not have been by Ezekiel's initiative that he thought of it, but God sent him there. And sometimes we talk about preachers and what God is, or what they have done and how they've been used. But you know what? It is by no preacher. It is by God who calls those men and puts preachers where they are and puts it in their heart and gives them the word and prepares them. And praise the Lord, there's a Savior. If you're here tonight, you don't know for sure that you're going to heaven. Listen to God's word. God wants you to be saved. And as we think of people tonight that we know who are not saved, we can know without any doubt God wants them to be saved. God wants lost people to be saved. God is an awesome God. And He knows all things. And He knew all things, knows all things before they even occur. But you know what? My feeble mind cannot just get a hold of that. And there's certain things that even the Bible says the unknown things belong to Him. I cannot understand all of what God knows about salvation and the decisions of other people about salvation. I'm not going to pretend to ever be able to get a hold of all that. But I know God wants lost people to be saved. And I know that if any shadow of any types of teaching would dampen that commandment and that understanding of the commandment to preach the gospel to lost people, it's not of God. God wants lost people to be saved. And He set Ezekiel down there in the midst of this valley, which is full of bones. And look at verse 2, and He caused me to pass by them round about. It's interesting the way that's phrased in, and forgive me, I saw this, it was interesting to me. If just like Jeff, we just had summer course of Hebrew. It was very, we're just learning little its and bits. I told one of the guys at the end of the class, we met for last time on Thursday, I wish I could take another class coming up on this next semester. I feel like we got all this little bits of information. We haven't quite pulled it together yet. But little tidbits here and there, as you learn through this process of what we're doing towards the chaplaincy. But an opportunity to see here in verse 2, and caused me to pass by them round about. Something you can see there in the Hebrew is it's a repetition of two very simple words. One means around, And then he repeats that same word, around. I mean, he goes round and around. Lord, the Lord put him there to take a close look at those dry bones. You know, that tells me something as a Christian. We are not to imitate this world. We are not to live like they are, but we are to understand who and what they are. They're lost people. They need a Savior. And I think sometimes we as believers get used to living in a world of lost people. We get used to the fact that they're lost and maybe think they'll never get saved. We get used to the fact sometimes that they know what they're talking about in other matters, and so we begin to listen to them in all matters. We need to remember that those who have not trusted in Christ as their Savior, we're not to judge them because we were in the same situation if it wasn't for the grace of God. But they are lost people. And lost people will act and think and prioritize things as lost people do. And we need to take a close look and understand that they need to be saved. And it says in lo, in verse 2, in the middle, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. There were very many, and they were very dry. They're around us as if we lift up our eyes and look under the harvest, we will see it's the same today. There are very many. We're at Tri-City, we're doing a lot of on Saturdays, about three Saturdays out of the month, a lot of new move-in visits. So we have literally hundreds in the system that we're printing out little by little and going visiting, trying to visit people who've moved in during the last year or so in the area close to our church. And once in a while, we'll get one where someone will say, you know, actually, usually, it's, yeah, well, he did move in during this last so many months. Sometimes, a couple weeks ago, I was out with someone, and we knocked on the door of an elderly lady. She said, oh, I've lived here for, I don't know how many years, she said, but years and years, 30 years or something like that. But we were talking after a visit, you know, we're just remembering. But nonetheless, you can't take the gospel to the wrong address. I mean, no matter where you take the gospel, it's the right place to take the gospel. Even if someone's already saved. They can be encouraged that they should be witnessing to someone. And if someone's not saved, doesn't matter if they just moved in there recently or not. There's just a multitude. There are very many, and lo, they were very dry. People can't get close to God without the gospel, the true gospel of the Bible, the true salvation through Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter how many works they do. It doesn't matter how religious they are or how good they may seem to be, how kind they are. They can't even get close to heaven without being saved through Jesus Christ. They're dead, but very dead. They need the Savior. They're hopeless. But God puts an interesting question to Ezekiel. He said in verse 3, and he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? Now, I'm glad God asked Ezekiel that. There are just dead bones scattered. I mean, a lot of them in this valley, just piles of bones throughout this valley. Ezekiel, can these bones live? You mean, can they live? They're already dead. And I like Ezekiel's answer. And I answered, oh, Lord God, thou knowest. It was a real good answer, very diplomatic answer there. Lord, you know. I don't know if they can or not, but I know that you know. And the Lord maybe would ask us that as well tonight as we look on our own country. So you look at your neighbors, the people you go to school with, and you may just think, could these people, is there any hope? Could they possibly be saved? And sometimes maybe all we can say is, Lord, you know if they can be saved or not. But the Lord would try us. If we never give a tract, if we never pray for a lost family member, we never pray for a lost neighbor, maybe we're giving our answer. Whether we think those dry, dead bones could ever live. But there is a Savior who is interested in them. There's a promise also. The Lord didn't wait for Ezekiel to continue on. The Lord begins to speak in verse 4. Again, he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. I wonder what Ezekiel's thought was. He was obedient, or as we're going to see, but the Lord put him there, caused him to go roundabout, take a good close look to see that there, how there were many, many bones, and they were very dry. And then he said, Ezekiel, preach to these bones. How ridiculous. How useless. What a waste of time. These bones don't, they can't even hear. Stopped ears, does it sound familiar? Where it said that people's ears, their eyes would be blinded, their ears would be covered, so that they could not hear the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. God has not called you and I to an easy task, but he's called us to the task. You'll hear today that people will say, it doesn't work anymore. It doesn't work to go visit people and invite them to a church. It doesn't work to knock on people's doors. It doesn't work to ask people and challenge them with the simple gospel. That doesn't work anymore. Well, you know what? Maybe we should stop and think about John chapter 1 and verse 11. The Lord came unto his own. And what did his own do? His own received him not. It didn't work then either. But yet the Lord Jesus Christ did what the Father's will was. Every time someone gets saved, it's a miraculous thing. It's not something that works. Every time someone, Vacation Bible School, or a parent, or an adult, right? This morning we had someone who came first time on the bus. How many adults do you hear of that come to church on a bus anymore? And you, every time someone believes on the Lord Jesus Christ and by faith asks for the forgiveness of their sin, that is a miracle. God doesn't ask us to stop and consider what works. Ask Paul. I bet people in the church, we can only imagine that people in the churches of the first century, there had to be some around there on the fringes somewhere saying, this doesn't work. Every time Paul goes to a new town, he gets run out of it. Why doesn't he find something that works? Would have been a logical conclusion. The Lord doesn't ask us to try and figure out what works. He asks us and commands us to preach his word. And he'll take care of people's hearts. The Spirit will use the sword of the Spirit to transform lives. We are to be obedient messengers and spokesmen of God's word. But God gave the promise, verse 5, thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. God gave the promise. He gave in verse 6, and I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking. And the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. It seemed useless and it seemed without purpose, with no end, and yet he stood and he prophesied to those bones. And God commanded him to prophesy to the wind, to the spirit. And we too, as we go, we are to preach to people where it seems an impossible situation. At the same time, going forward, as Adoniram Judson said, going forward on our knees, praying as we go, praying for God's Spirit to do a work. We can't do the work. Man, our tongues get tied up. People ask us questions that we can't answer. They pull out some argument from who knows where that might confuse us. And sometimes we don't know what to do. We just need to pray, give the simple truth of the gospel, and pray for them to believe on that message. You can answer people's questions from sun up till sundown. And they still won't get saved if their heart's not ready, if their heart's not been prepared by the Holy Spirit of God. if they're not, their heart's not being pierced with the Word of God, we can argue around in circles and try to convince people with logic that there is a Creator. The very fact that there's order in this world shows that there's a Creator. Someone had to do all this. We might throw something in there, but someone's not going to get saved based on those arguments. They're going to get saved because they've heard the Word of God. And God has convicted them of the sin that's in their life and that they need to be saved. Oh, but it's powerful. That's a wonderful verse there in verse 7. So I prophesied as I was commanded. As I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones come together, bone to bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. What a wonderful thing when God saves a lost soul. What a wonderful thing when God lays someone upon your heart and you pray for them faithfully. And maybe you don't go back every single week talking with them, but you're praying for them. And when God gives an opportunity, you talk to them and you invite them and you pray for them. And God changes someone's thinking, and they start tossing those things around like the young lady that Pastor Thomas mentions that came this morning. They start thinking about those things. You just watch. And then some months later, after they've been saved, and you see them growing, you see them making decisions, you see them growing in the truth and the knowledge of the gospel. What a powerful thing that is. First generation believers, people whose home as a child was just a wreck and in a mess, and how God saves people, and they begin to see how things weren't right in their own home. They begin to see how things, truths and principles of God's Word apply to their life and to their family. And they might make some mistakes. They might falter and stumble along the way, but God's shaping them and molding them. And then they have their children. They raise up their children in the way of the Lord. Now, that's powerful stuff. That is a blessing. That is a miracle of God. It doesn't always happen from one day to the next, but as we see and we hear, as it were, as we see here the shaking and watch just God doing a work in someone's life, I would encourage you, don't sit on your hands. Don't sit still and not get involved in the work of God. Don't get discouraged and say, but we're not seeing the results we want to see. We're not seeing God do something. You say, I just throw in the towel. I'm not going to do anything at all. God might move you. God might steer you to another place or to another person, but don't withdraw yourself. Get involved in what God's doing in people's lives. It's an exciting thing. You have to have patience. Sometimes we get discouraged, but it's a powerful thing that God does in people's lives. It's a wonderful thing. If you've never witnessed to someone, you can at least take a tract and give it to them. You can go out with Pastor Thomas. You can go out with others who know how to share the gospel. You just go along. You stand there at the door, just pray as they talk with other people. They won't make you talk to someone. It's how about if you take this next one and say, I am not ready for that. I guarantee you, Pastor's not going to say, finally, you just go home, get in the car, I'll keep on. Yeah. You just go along and pray and watch and pray and watch and pray and watch. It's an exciting thing to be involved. You might have some drawbacks, you might have some disappointments, you might have someone, you think only in some of these other countries, someone's going to slam the door in your face. Ethan had that happen to him yesterday. I mean, sometimes you get some shocking things that happen to you, but it's okay. You just keep serving the Lord. Man, it's better to have a door slammed in your face and be kind to people. Now, don't give them a reason to slam the door in your face. I mean, you be kind and be loving. You share the gospel. And as people once in a while react to the gospel, let them react. Maybe the Lord's doing something in their life and they're fighting with it. You just be kind and show Christ's love and offer the gospel. Be faithful in that. And that's an exciting thing to be. That's far better. This world is so wrapped up in getting, and this sometimes gets into the church as well, but sometimes we see what the world does, so selfish, and everybody's out for themselves and trying to accumulate more and trying to do better than the other person. And we can work. We can watch God's blessings come in. But let's be involved in the work of the Lord. Even where we work and on time set aside specifically to serve the Lord, because this is a desperate, hopeless people we live amongst. But praise the Lord, there's a Savior, there's a promise, and there's a future. In verse 11, the Bible says, then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried, and our hope is lost. We are cut off for our parts. The suicide that occurs, the divorce that happens, the abuse that is told about all the time, and even amongst adults and in marriages and children, and just hopelessness and desperation. We're dried, we're dead, there's no hope. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. And ye shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. Then shall you know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. Now we see this as specifically a promise to the house of Israel. This is a promise that is that God has not forgotten his people. He has a future. He has a plan. A person who is Jewish by nationality, if they trust in the Lord, they can know they are part of this plan. God has a plan and a promise for that specific people. But even we as Gentiles, if we have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have tremendous promises as well. The resurrection of the Old Testament saints at a future time, at the end of the tribulation, right when the kingdom of Christ is beginning, about to arise, and God raises them up out of the dead from their graves and brings them into their own land, it will be a sign to all the house of Israel that Jesus Christ is the Lord God Jehovah. The Bible says in the New Testament that the resurrection of Jesus Christ, by his resurrection, he was declared to be the Son of God. We have promises as well. We have a hope of a second resurrection. Though our body dies, we know that when Jesus comes, we will be raised in immortality. We have a hope of eternal life in the Lord as well, and participating in his kingdom and being with him forever and ever. There is a Savior. There is a message. There is a message to give. There is hope. There is a future. As we serve Christ, sometimes we can begin to feel and to think, you know, this matter of serving the Lord is such an isolated thing, but it's not. There are churches, even while some churches are kind of going off and playing and things and they're getting away from the gospel, there are a multitude of churches, just like Faith Baptist Church, they're staying faithful to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And they're praying for people to be saved. And they're preaching the word. But you know what? We have to continually challenge ourselves with the word of God to stay on that track. You know, when we get ready to go into the chaplaincy, we're looking forward next year, really am, next year in the summer, Lord willing, for the officer training. There's going to be the physical, like there always is. There's going to be the physical aspect of it. And you know, and you get excited about that, and you start training, and start running, and getting different things ready. But with the busyness of classes this summer, it's really easy to let that kind of slide. Eating too many treats along the way. You're kind of in a hurry, eating what maybe you shouldn't be eating, maybe not running as often as you should be running. The tendency is to let that harder part kind of slip a little bit, get a little bit lazy, get a little bit soft. You know, it's the same in the work of the gospel. Our tendency is if we just don't think about it, and we just don't look at those passages where God commands us to preach the word, our natural tendency is, as a church, as God's people, our natural tendency is to let the hard part kind of go by the wayside and focus on other good things. But to preach the word outside of the church less and less and less. That's our tendency. And I would say we need to be challenged. I need to be challenged. We need to be challenged to remember there are many, many dead, spiritually dead people that surround us. And we could say, but they've always been lost. And they will always be lost. Those people are never going to be saved. I doubt if Ezekiel really had a whole lot of belief that pile of dead bones could stand up and be a mighty army. But God did it. He did it. And as we look around, you look around, where you live and where this church is. You see some churches maybe that go off to a different direction. And you see people who have been lost, seems like, for years. And their heart's been hard. You just keep praying for them. Keep praying for them. Maybe tonight as we end, you would even come forward and God would bring to mind someone that you think is impossible that they would be saved. You might even want to pray for that person tonight. I've seen people, there's people I have prayed for and I've witnessed to, and they've never even given the smallest inclination of interest in the gospel. But you don't know what God can do in their heart. A stranger does not enter into the heart of another. Only God knows what he is going to do, what he has planned for everyone. Valley of dry bones, but God can raise them up to be a mighty army. Have faith in God. There is a Savior. There is a promise. There is a future. We too once were dry, dead bones. But God has saved us. And God can save others. Do you believe that God can save lost people who live around you? Maybe you don't believe. That's okay. I'm not sure Ezekiel believed either. But we can do what God told us to do. God commanded us to go out and preach the gospel to every creature. And sure, we should go by faith, but even if we doubt, we should still preach the word. We should still preach the word. I'd like for us to stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed this evening. And as we